We'll turn to the book of Philippians tonight. I wanted to, it kind of worked out really kind of interesting this way. In video games, you'll buy the video game and then they'll have what's called an advanced pack. Is that what they call it, Josh? It's an add-on with extras? A DLC? Downloadable content. Basically, it's an expansion pack. Well, tonight's message is an expansion pack on Sunday's messages of victory in Jesus. The Lord really gave it to me this week and wouldn't leave me alone. I had three other sermons ready to go. I was going to preach on the doctrine of sin. I was going to preach on our speech and other things like that. But the Lord just kept bringing me back to this one until I finally submitted and went, okay. So tonight's message is a downloadable content. It is a expansion pack to Sunday. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. If you found it, please say amen. We're going to read those verses together as a family tonight, so let's read them out loud, starting in verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love you. We are thankful for the testimony of Brother Clyde and Miss Jean Duncan. We're thankful for their family and how faithful they all have been. And Father, we pray your richest blessings upon your servants. And I ask God that your will be done. Father, bless us tonight as we look to your word. Bless dear Deanna and Miss Cheryl as they are struggling with their body. I pray, God, you'd heal them. Their heart is to serve you. And they have such a sweet spirit. We're thankful for them. Father, tonight we ask that you would work in our lives. We're here tonight, Father, to get a blessing. We're here tonight, and you promised to be in the midst. And tonight it is our desire that you would perfect your will in us. Conform us to the image of Christ. Grow us. If there's one here tonight that's not saved, they've never trusted Christ, may they trust Christ as their Savior tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May I look this way. Verse number 8 is a very classic verse on our thought life. And I want to talk to you tonight about victory in Jesus, having victory in our thought life. Another classic scripture is 2 Corinthians 10:5. If you're taking notes, 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. While you're looking at Philippians chapter 4, we're going to break down these verses for just a second, because you may have thought verse 8 is classic, but 6 and 7 matter. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Well, how is it that you don't fret, you don't worry, you don't fear? Because of our faith in Christ. Our faith is in the only God there is, by the way. Do you understand that? There is no other gods. There is only Jehovah God. We worship the God who is, and we worship the only God there is, and we worship the God who promises to answer prayers. So by faith, we are careful for nothing. Look at it. It's in our mind. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. That is a frame of mind. Understanding who it is we're worshiping. Understanding why, the fact that everything we have came from Him. The fact that all of our blessings, everything He does for us. Because He's always good. Brother Bob was older at the time. He wasn't. He's passed on to heaven now, but he was older than me by a bunch. And when I first heard him preach that phrase out of Psalms, God is good, period. You know, he said at the time, he said, you got to live a little while. You got to walk a little while with God to be able to really embrace that, to really believe that. And he's right. I believe God's good, period. End of sentence. All the time, every time, God is always good. That took a little faith, took a little belief, took a little trust. Look at Philippians 4 and verse number
6, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our thought life is a powerful thing. On Sunday night, I talked about the three dedications, the things we have to dedicate to God to have victory, to walk in victory. And we talked about the presentation of our bodies out of Romans 12 and verse 1. And then we talked about the renewing of our minds through the Word. And then we talked about the conforming of to God's mold, to God's standard and not the world's. But the renewing of our mind is an area that we just are never going to exhaust. It's never going to get tiresome because we need it so bad. Have you ever given much thought to how your thought life affects your walk with God? I mean, let's face it. I'm looking out tonight at my home folks. You people have been in church your majority of your life, if not all of it. You've X'd out the majority of the social ills that we see in other people. We've gotten rid of alcohol. We've gotten rid of drugs. We've gotten rid of things in our life, and we're doing pretty good. But have you given any thought to the battle that rages between our ears in our mind? The Bible has many references to how a believer thinks. Some of them are about good thinking, and some of them are what I call stinking thinking. Some of them are just bad. The thoughts are wrong. Some of and you know, when we got saved, we forgot, and maybe we didn't understand, or nobody told us, but we were going to enter into a battle when we got saved with the devil over the control of our mind. That's right. The book of Proverbs is a book written by a father to a son, trying to instruct his son for the day when he would not be there and his son would be king. And in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, the Bible says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, right in the middle of speaking about morality and ethics and spiritual precepts, he talks about for just a second, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, when you look at Proverbs 23, why don't you step over there, put your ribbon there in Philippians 4, and jump over to Proverbs 23 for a second, because he uses the same idea he's got in the same chapter. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. The Bible says, Proverbs 23 and verse 12. Proverbs 23 and verse 12. He goes on to say, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Verse 15, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. All of this deals with how we think, what is going on in our minds. I mean, now, if I were to ask you, you know, what is correct thinking? What is correct thinking? If I don't know how to think correctly, how will I learn to think correctly? Many times, you know, like I said, when I think back to when I got saved, it's like I didn't realize. I'm glad I got saved, but I'm just saying I didn't realize the battle the mind would be compared to the outward stuff. The battle of the mind is tougher because those sins, as we talked about Sunday night, when you present your body, then you present your mind and renew it. Those are secret sins. Nobody knows what's going on in there. It's just you. Supposedly, you think that knows what's going on in your mind. And thankful nobody else can read it, right? Oh, our ladies, our wives can read us pretty good, gentlemen, but thank God they can't read it all. Aren't you glad? So often I come across Christian wives who find out later that after they're married that their husbands have allowed their thinking to go unrestrained, and it's resulted in just devastating their marriage. Heard recently of a young lady who was married to a man there just a few years out of college and Bible college, and he's an assistant on staff at a church. And one day her phone was messed up, so she grabbed his and saw that he'd had a text message. So she opened up the phone. It was a text message from a woman he didn't know, or she didn't know. And it was a very inappropriate message from her to her husband. And when she opened it up to read it, she found out that he'd in previous had been very inappropriate in the way he had responded to her earlier. She was heartbroken. And as she scanned through there, he'd been doing this with multiple women. Just very inappropriate. She went to his computer, opened up the computer, and found out that he's been just having these online relationships. And when confronted, he was sorry and promised to change, but it wasn't long after that he resigned his position and ran off. His mind, his thought life was not controlled, and it devastated their lives. All sin starts in our heart because we think about it first. And the truth is, you are what you think. What you are thinking today is who you will be tomorrow. That's why you're the sum total of what you read, what you listen to, and who you run with. Because what you think about today is who you become tomorrow. And you try to hide it, and you try to disguise it, and you try to ignore it, and you try to justify it, but you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself if you think that it doesn't affect your walk with God. Take your Bible, turn to Galatians, a very familiar portion of Scripture tonight. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. I worked real hard trying to find humor to put into tonight's sermon, and I was coming up short because this is a serious, serious matter. Look at Galatians 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This kind of thinking, selfish, lustful, ungodly thinking, you know, it goes on in what we believe is secret. But we are sowing to the flesh. We are sowing to the flesh. And I want to take it a step further. I'm concerned about our children, about all children. It's staggering. 80% of the kids that are raised in Christian homes do not grow up to serve God. That's scary. That is scary. Because that means that's 3 out of 4 are mine. That's scary. In most instances, they live a wicked life. And I think it concerns me what they put in their mind. Much of today's thinking is carnal, worldly, ungodly, uncontrolled. Like it said in Genesis 6:5, the imagination of the thoughts of their heart was evil continually. And I think if, you know, we look at Proverbs 22:6, if you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I think part of that training is training our kids how to think purely. How not to take offense every time something doesn't go their way. How not to automatically assume everybody's against them or that it's a fight, and be wary about how it affects, how to have compassion, how to have empathy. We ought to help our kids think right. Now, I'll be honest with you, dads, many times it falls to us because we're the problem. But we think no one else is looking. Take your Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse number 5. We forget that we are not alone in our thoughts. Ezekiel chapter number 11 and verse number 5. We are not alone. Look at Ezekiel 11:5. The Bible says, "And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak, thus saith the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them." And we're out of fellowship with God, and we don't understand why spiritual things are not happening in our life, and we go to church, and we read our Bible, and we pray, but we have an uncontrolled thought life, and everything else seems to be done mechanically and methodically, and we do it, but for some reason, we can't seem to move forward spiritually. And our young people sit in our youth group and go to all their activities, but are we concerned about what goes in their mind? Our young people can have every activity under the sun, but if they don't know how to control their thought life, we're going to see that 80 percentile happen to us. We must teach this at home and at church. Look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 and verse 14. This is another classic scripture that we need to commit to memory. Romans 13 and verse 14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ," look at it now, "and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the the lesser of. In Matthew 5:28, Jesus said, if you look upon a woman, you've already committed adultery with her. I mean, he didn't lower the bar when it came to grace. He raised it. And now the battle is not so much our physical body as much as our mind. And the question is how do I bring my thoughts into captivity? How do I bring them into submission to the obedience of Christ? And in the Bible, the heart and mind a lot of times are used interchangeably, but in 2 Corinthians 10:5, and I quoted this to you, it said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That when it comes up, it is up to us to cast it down. It is up to us to grab a hold of that thought and push it aside and not muse upon it. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now you see that word where it says imaginations? This is talking about fantasies. This is going on, what's going on in our mind. And every person who rebels in life is because they're living in a fantasy world. They allow their minds to run off and fantasize about living in other places with other people and being other things. And the problem is, I'm a dreamer too. Don't get me wrong. I like to dream. But to fantasize about things that aren't right. On Sunday, I mentioned about how Miss Mix and I have a joint Facebook account. Why? Because I don't want to know where my ex-girlfriends are. I don't want to muse on the one that got away. You know how many people I meet whose marriages have ended because they ran into the one that got away? That isn't from God. That battle happened in their mind, in front of their computer screen, when nobody else was looking, without accountability, and they lost the battle. And they devastated their life, they devastated their wife, and they devastated their kids. And I've seen it happen to men, too, where wives have run off. Because their sweetheart from high school just happened to be available. It's a battle of the mind. Imaginations. In Ezekiel 8:12, he calls it the chambers of his imagery. Now, God has given us weapons. God has given us weapons to wage war in our mind. If you take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians 10. I quoted verse 5 a minute ago, but let's look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10. If we're going to have victory in Jesus Christ, then we are going to have to win the battle of our mind. We are going to have to wage that war. 2 Corinthians 10:4. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, notice the phrase, to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, the Bible says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, and therefore our weaponry is not fleshly. In fact, it is powerful through God. But that word stronghold is a very interesting word. It means a heavily fortified containment in which a person would seek shelter and escape. And those strongholds in our minds where we go and we fantasize and we escape from reality, that's where it happens. In Ephesians 6, of course, you got the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth. You've got the weapons God gave us to wage this war, but we have to be the one who do it. With wicked thoughts, people fantasize about sin. Sin they would never be caught dead doing physically. We think about it. Fantasy thinking is a type of secret virtual reality that, quite honestly, someday will become visible. Because you muse on it long enough, you'll do it. Many Christians don't think it's harmful, but it grieves the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5 and verse 16, I want you to look at verse 16 and 17. Look at Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17. Now, we're going to look at 16 and really break it apart later, but look what it says. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust thereof. Now, look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one to the other. Now, look at that last phrase. So that ye cannot do the things that you would. Is your spiritual life dry? Is your prayer life gone, boring you and gone unanswerable? Is your mind wandering when you read the scriptures and you're not getting anything of it? What's going on between your ears? Have you had a checkup from the neck up lately? I know I have to. I have to fight that fight. I have to make myself focus and concentrate. For some reason, I can sit all day and watch TV, but the minute I pull my Bible out, I start yawning like a bear ready to go to hibernation. Why is that? Because my flesh don't want it. This, we are never going to have victory unless we win the war of our mind. Do you understand those strongholds in our minds? Are our little virtual reality escapes where we think of things that we wouldn't dare do outwardly and have people see us. But God sees it. And we're actually sinning against God. We would never do it physically because at least we wouldn't think we would, but because it would devastate everything. But Paul said every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, Brother Harold does that prayer, CPR, confession first. Why? To clear the way between you and God. Then praise, because our praise is hollow, empty, worthless. If the way is not clean, he's not listening. Paul said every thought. We keep our secret, impure thoughts to ourselves, and we try to serve God too, and it just doesn't work. What secrets are you hiding? I don't want to know, but what secrets are you hiding? What is it you and only you and God know? An uncontrolled thought life is a real heart issue. Take your Bible, look at Ephesians 2 and verse 3. It's a heart issue. It says, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh. Now look what it says next. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Oh, we all know that. And of the mind. Fulfilling the desires of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The Christian that does not have a real, intimate, personal, passionate relationship with God is going to struggle with their thoughts. Is going to wage a war. And they're going to lose. Romans 12:1 Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know that verse. But look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. If any man or woman is to have a real relationship with God that's meaningful, their mind's going to have to be transformed. Otherwise, we're going to think too highly of ourselves. We are going to fool ourselves into thinking, we got it going on. We're pretty good. You know, we're good. We're good Christian. We've got it. And we've fooled ourselves. It leads to uncontrolled selfish thinking. He or she thinks of himself and the ungodly desires of the flesh of the mind. You know, I spoke to a former pastor. He was in our, he had visited our church for a while in Arkansas. And he said he'd been lusting after women since he was a kid. And he went to Bible college and struggled with it. He looked at porn. He got married, went off into ministry, had a couple of kids. And he just couldn't shake it. He wouldn't make the battle. He couldn't seem to find a way to break and win the battle of the mind. He said, but yeah, I want to serve God. His thought life was totally out of control. Nobody had taught him. Nobody had breached this subject with him. That this battle has to be waged and it has to be won. All right, so how do I get control of my mind? How do I bring every thought into the captivity of Christ? How do I wage this war? Number one, you've got to have a real, intimate, personal, passionate walk with God. It cannot be mechanical. Take your Bible. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. Listen to what David, at the end of his life, as he is passing the mantle to his son. And by the way, this is the only instance in the Bible where the mantle is passed while the old king is still alive. That's the only opportunity, it's the only one you find. Look at 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. You need to know him. And serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of thoughts, of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. In John chapter 8, I have been telling you the spiritual steps to victory. The first one is know Jesus, to know him in salvation. John 8:31. The second step is to continue in his word. That's how you get to know God, is to spend time in his word, to daily consume the word. I've told you once, I'm going to tell you a bunch more times over the rest of your life. You've got to meditate on God's word. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, Paul told Timothy to meditate on these things. He was to chew on it. He was to think about it. He was to run it over and over in his mind. You've heard me quote Joshua 1:8. You heard me quote Psalm 1 in verse 3. But our thinking has to be transformed to God's thinking. Changed to God's thinking on this matter. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit when he wants to show us something from God's word. A mechanical walk with God is when we just read the word and we don't think. We just read the word to get through it. We read the word to get mom and dad to shut up. When we read the word just so we don't have to feel guilty anymore, we just read it. But when the Holy Spirit tries to get our attention and we're not listening, you have no ability to meditate on it. You're just running through it as a mental exercise. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. If we've been thinking dirty, evil thoughts, we need to ask God to forgive us when it comes up. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number two, you need to memorize the scripture that deals with this sin. We've got to memorize Philippians 4:8. We've got to memorize 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. We need to memorize Proverbs 23 where it says, as a man thinketh, so is he. We need to memorize these things. We need to put them in our heart. David said in Psalm 119 that... In verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. In verse 11, it says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against him. But those are not the only two references. When you get down to verse 35 and verse 45, he talks about hiding it and meditating on it as well. And then when God brings this to mind and you confess it, you need to forsake it. I talked about what it meant to forsake Sunday night. Do you remember that? How many of you were in here? Do you remember what I said about that? I was using a porta potty at the state fair one year, and my watch fell off into the stuff. And I did not go back in there after it. You know what I actually did? I walked away. And I left it. That's what forsaking means. You leave it right where it is, in the cesspool sewer of your mind. You put that, just throw it aside, and don't go back digging in the stuff for it. When it comes up, you have to be the one who casts it down. You have to be the one that takes responsibility and throws it aside and recognize that isn't from God. That is not how God would have me think. What is it you're putting in your mind? What kind of music are you listening to? You know why I don't listen to country and Western music? Because it makes me think of adultery. Wow, got quiet in here awful fast. You know why I don't listen to heavy metal? Because it excites my flesh. And maybe you're more spiritual than I am. But what you put in your eyes and your ears goes down in your heart and it changes the way you think. How did all of this filth become commonplace? Because we pumped it in our heads. Year after year, decade after decade, slowly moving the bar of what was socially acceptable filth. And we as Christians have just moved with the world. You know, we're watching, well, I'm not getting any closer to the world. Yeah, but the world is drifting towards Satan, and we're going with him. We're not any closer, but we're drifting. Your grandparents, my grandparents wouldn't let playing cards in the house. Would your, I mean, seriously now, would your great-grandparents put up with what's on TV? I remember when cable TV came to my town. You remember that? I predate cable TV. Anybody else? They drilled a hole in a window pane, ran a cable inside, and my dad got 24/7 news and weather. He flipped over and to the comedy station, and George Carlin came in and started to rant in foul language, and my dad took his thing and cut the cord and said, "That's it. I ain't having that in my house." Do you understand? The battle for the mind of the Christian is raging. And if you want victory in your life, it's got to be more than just, I look right, I smell right, I talk right, and everybody thinks I'm right. It's now you and God and what's going on between your ears. Why? Because that's what I fight now. No, I don't drink anymore. I don't smoke anymore. I don't dip anymore. I don't do this or that anymore. But now the battle's here. So number one, I have to have a walk with God that's personal, that's intimate. I have to be listening to the Holy Spirit when He tries to get my attention through the Word. I need to meditate on that actual Scripture when He brings it up. I need to memorize Scripture about the battles that I am facing. And then when God brings it up and I need to confess and repent, then I need to forsake it. And when my mind starts to go back down to those familiar paths, I need to cast it aside and and forsake it, like the filth that it is. You know, you're fooling yourself if you don't think it's filth. Oh, I don't think that way. All right, how about anger? How about you being frustrated with your neighbor who's lost, whose dog makes regular deposits in your yard? You're frustrated. You're mad. But you don't let nobody show it because you're too pious and too holy to be angry. God knows you're angry. God knows you're frustrated. Well, my wife's not meeting my needs. How are you doing on meeting hers? God knows you're mad. God knows you're frustrated. God knows you're irritated with your spouse. God knows you feel unfulfilled. You need to confess that. Love endures all things. It hopes all things. It bears all things. That's sin. You need to confess that. That's a battle of the mind. You need to go home and anyway, we got a lot more to talk about. Anyway, you need to forsake that. You need to ask God, what do you want me to? Because as soon as He brings it up, you cast it aside. And then as it said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, not 8, because 8's the whole, here's what you think about. 7 talked about praising God. Because when you start to praise God and say, God, what do you want me to praise you for? Because I just cast aside that. I'm going to praise you now. I want to praise you. And you start to think. It'll cause you to think on good things. It kind of reboots your mind when you praise God for the things He's done for you in life. It'll reboot your mind. And then when you get to verse 8, then it says, whatsoever true, honest, just, pure, lovely. Is that your thought life? Good report. Is that your thought life? Is that what you think about? Think on these things. That's a command. That means we have control. Number two, you need to walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16 says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17 says, if we don't do it, we won't be able to do the things we want to do. But look at Galatians chapter 5, because I want to jump down to verse number 25. Look what it says. Verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit. Verse 17 says that you can't do the things you want. But verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It means we have to include our thought life. And we have to be willing not only to cast aside the things that come in, but also obey the promptings when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something. Number three, remove the temptation from your life. Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. You know where you're struggling at. You need to stop unfollowing some people on Facebook. If that causes you to sin, well, then you need to stop. You don't need to know what they're doing. You don't need to know where they're at. You don't need to know where they're vacationing. You don't need to know what they're wearing. Unfollow them. Get them out of your news feed. Block them if you have to. Let's man up and be big boys and girls and take responsibility for those areas of our lives. Remove those temptations. Guard yourself. You know what? If you're having a struggle with the internet, then clearenter.net or covenanteyes.net are excellent web services. Because what that means is you get an accountability partner and they get to see a list of everything you've clicked on. Let your wife be your accountability partner. Let your husband be your accountability partner. Stay away from the things that tempt you. Number four, remember that God is all you need. We are to glorify Him in our thought life. We are bought with a price. We need to glorify God in our spirit and our body. You need to be content with His presence in your life and in your home. And you need to become very discontented with the sin that's in your life. It says in Hebrews 13 and verse 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You know, we need to go home and love our spouse. We need to go home and choose to, not be disgruntled, not be irritated, not, they're hard to live with now. You need to go home and love your wife. You need to choose to speak their love language. You need to pray for your spouse. It's hard not to love somebody. When you're praying for them, it's hard. It's hard to be angry if you're praying for that spouse. Ask God to help you love that spouse. Ask God to give you grace for that spouse. Go home and be intimate. Go home and be affectionate. If you go home and give your spouse the cold shoulder, you're in sin. You are in sin. Did I say that right? You're in sin. The Bible says you will not defraud your spouse. That's sin. Well, they didn't take care of things I asked them to take care of. That's sin. God's enough. You do it for the glory of God. See, the devil got a foothold between you and your spouse now. You don't think it, but it's there. You don't see it, but it's there. Love endures all things. Love hopes all things. Love believes all things. It's not, and I love my sister-in-law. She's a mess, but I love her. And she said, well, you know, my brother's dying. And she has to do things for him she's never had to do before. And she said, but yeah, it says in sickness and in health on the vows, I remember saying it. She meant it. 50-some years later, she still means it. Anything short of that, sin. And that's where the Christian thinks they're okay because all the outward sins everybody sees is handled. But the devil still has a foothold. You think, well, I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. Pastor's not perfect. This message beat me up just like it beats up everybody else. Number five, you need to read Ephesians 4 over and over and over again. It's the change chapter. It is the chapter that answers the question, why can't I change my life? Why can't I change? Why do I come back to the same things? Ephesians 4 has all the answers. Read it. Memorize it. Number six, make it a priority to teach your family how to have a controlled thought life. I know this issue is sensitive, but it's in the forefront of what's causing problems in our home. It's our thought life. It'll destroy your home. It'll destroy your relationships. And I'm convinced it's the reason churches of America have a lack of spiritual power. It's because our thoughts is where the battle is. And we're just content with the outward victory. Church, it's time you and I, as God's people, took the fight to the one who fights against us. Ourselves, our flesh, and the devil. Recognize his tactics, utilize God's weapons, wage the war and win. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Father and our God, we love you, and we ask God for your forgiveness. Father, for our thoughts, for the areas where we've been angry and frustrated, forgetting that you have forgiven us for even greater offenses than those people who offended us today. Father, you have forgiven us from such greater sins than those who live around us, and even those that live in our homes. And I ask, Father, that you'd forgive us of our sin of pride that tells us that we deserve this or that, or it ought to be better. God, forgive us of our sin. You are enough. You're all we need. Father, help us as your people to embody your character, to renew our mind every day through your word, that we'll know the truth and the truth will make us free and we will have victory and we will be usable vessels. For you see everything that comes through our mind. You see what's in the chambers of our imagery and of our fantasies. You see what's there. And Father, we ask that going forward tonight, after not just forgive us, but empower us to be pleasing in that part of our life as well. And Father, that we would teach others how to wage this war, to submit to the Spirit, and to have you be victorious in our hearts and our minds. Bless tonight. Tonight, let us take a moment and just speak with you. As individuals, Father, touch every heart and every soul. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open, my brothers and sisters. Now is as good a time as any to do business with God. You know, we think to ourselves, we're doing pretty good. But how many people today would have got a piece of your mind had you not had some physical restraint? God heard it. God heard every word. How many bodies would have went to the coroner today? And you had no inhibitions. Your anger level got to the point where you're just ready to lash out. We think we're doing okay, but the battle rages. I think if we take care of the inside first, the outside will take care of itself. If we can win the battle of the mind, Our Father and our God, we love you. We are thankful for the truth of your word. And Father, how it cuts both ways, but we are thankful for the truth of it. And Father, tonight as we go our separate ways, I pray, God, that you would give us a new vigor to fight this battle, a new vigor to utilize the weapons you've given us, to take it seriously and not to buy into the deceitfulness of our heart or the devil that it's nothing. We're not hurting anybody. For it grieves you terribly, I know. So I ask God, please, speak, convict, and God, we look for you to set us free. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.